Get ready for the assault of the weird gadgets. We've got an Oloclip, a Doxy, a Zensorium Tinky, a Mionex, and an Iconia. What are they? You'll find out next. It's time to watch Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by Cashfly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy.
Hey, welcome everybody to Before You Buy, the Twit product review show, where we get great stuff in with weird names in this case and ask our staff to review them. Shannon Morse, our producer, is it just a coincidence that all the names of all the products are so strange this week?
It might be.
Did you plan this?
I plan everything.
Shannon's got a Doxy. Tony's got an Oloclip. Chad's got a Zensorium Tinky or Tinky. We got a Mionex. And an Iconia. I'll tell you what, let's start with Tony Wang, editor-in-chief at Twit. He's got the Oloclip. Tony?
I'm Tony Wang for Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and I am reviewing the Oloclip for the iPhone 5. So what the Oloclip is it's a three-lens system for your iPhone 5, and as the name suggested, this is a clip, and it clips straight onto your iPhone when your phone is not in the case. And it gives you three different lens choices. You have your sort of fisheye lens, and your wide-angle lens, and your macro lens. And I tried all three lenses, and they work as advertised. The fisheye is not a complete fisheye because of your 4:3 image, so parts of the fisheye is cropped off. But you do get the effect in some edges of the warping that a fisheye would give you. I actually prefer the wide-angle lens. It does give you a little bit more information versus the stock iPhone 5 lens. So that's probably the lens that you use most of the time when you have this clip. The macro lens is for your extreme close-up, and I do like how you can unscrew the wide-angle lens, and that will reveal the macro lens. So it's sort of a pretty cool design. So even though there's only two lenses that you see, there's actually three here. Pros and cons. The design is actually pretty ingenious. It fits perfectly snug, and you can actually have a lot of fun with your iPhoneography if you're into taking pictures with the iPhone and posting them on Instagram and your other social networks. Con, you can't use this if you have a protector, like a screen protector, any sort of like armor film that protects the front or the back of your phone. And that's just because the way they design the clip, it is a very snug fit, which is just enough that it doesn't fall off when you're using it. And it also doesn't scratch your phone because it's too tight. Buy, try, or don't buy, I would definitely give this a buy. For $70, it is a really fun way to spice up your iPhoneography. And if you're really into taking pictures with your phone, this is definitely the tool for you. I'm Tony for Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and this is the Oloclip for iPhone 5.
I have one, too, and I really like it. I had one for the old iPhone 4, and the 5 one is just a little bit skinnier, so it'll fit on an iPhone. But Tony's right. You can't use a case with it, so get ready to take your case off. And if you have something glued onto your phone, you're going to be out of luck entirely. It's that tight of a fit. Thank you, Tony Wang, editor-in-chief. Shannon Morse, our producer, is here. She's also the star of Threat Wire on YouTube.com/techfeed.
Star.
And you have brought a scanner with you.
Yes. So I'm so glad I got to check this out during tax season because,
good for receipts.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
So this is like a little portable scanner. It's not.
Yes.
Do they make a big version of this or this is
it? They do. So they have the original Doxy. There's the Doxy Go, which is a little bit more expensive than this one. This was the Doxy One, specifically a portable scanner for about $149, $150. The reason why it is portable is because it's only about 1 pound. It's less than a pound. It's 14 ounces.
But not, I noticed, battery or USB charge. You have to plug it into the wall.
It does have.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
You just don't have any batteries
in it. You can only use 4 AAA rechargeable batteries. It will not work with lithium ones.
Well, that's good. You want to make them rechargeable. That way you won't be bad to the environment.
So you can stick those in there if you want. If you stick them in there, it does make it about 1 pound. Okay. But otherwise, only 14 ounces. Has a little 2 gig SD card that comes with it. So you don't have to buy a spare SD card unless you really want to. And then on the side, it has a little port, a little micro USB port to plug it into your computer. And then it also has the power charger, of course.
So you could scan to a computer or to memory and then bring the card. That makes it means you could like bring it to a library or somewhere and scan stuff. And then,
so unfortunately, it will not work when you have it plugged into your computer via the USB.
It does not scan the computer.
It won't scan straight to the computer. It just scans to this SD card.
The
USB port is to plug it in and transfer the files from the SD card so you don't have to take it out.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's a very good use case scenario if you don't have an SD card reader on like an old machine, or you just want to plug it in and have it sitting at your desk for, you know, a long time. So I brought a couple different pieces of paper to test it out with.
It's got its own little sheet feeder.
Yeah, it has its own sheet feeder. One thing I did not like is the fact that it only does one piece of paper at a time.
Right.
I believe that's just, you know, one of the reasons why it is portable.
Yeah, you couldn't have a sheet feeder in that size.
You can't. So they say line it up close to the left side. It'll grab onto the piece of paper, and it'll just run it through. It takes less than 10 seconds to do a piece of paper. Ta-da!
Now, this kind of scanner has been around for a long time. What makes the difference on a scanner like this is the software that comes with it.
Yes. So this one comes with the Doxy Smart Software. Let's grab that in there. The Smart Software you can use on Mac or Windows. It does not have a Linux version, unfortunately. Kind of wish it did because I also use Linux at home, but I know a lot of people don't. The scanner software is very, very easy to use. I pulled it up on my Mac, and I had no problems figuring it out. You just plug in the SD card, pull up Doxy Scanner Smart Software, and you can do things such as staple different PDF files together, which is very useful if you have a couple of different pieces of paper that you scan separately. You can just tack them onto each other and choose staple. And it can also share out to different cloud sources like Dropbox and Evernote and things like that. On their website, they also offer a little SD card reader for your iPad. And they also have a 30-pin connector, which is great for your newer iPads. I have an older one, so I have a 30-pin.
They have Lightning or 30-pin.
Yeah.
And this looks like the Apple. It looks exactly like. I wonder if it is the Apple.
I believe it is. Yeah, because it looks exactly like the one.
Yeah.
Might not have the Apple name brand on it, but
same otherwise. Okay.
Designed by Apple in California.
Yeah, so they're just reselling the Apple.
Yeah, so they're just reselling.
Does the scanner software have optical character recognition? Does it read the text and turn it into?
It does not turn it into editable text.
Okay, so
it
no
will only
OCR.
Do PDF, JPEG. What are the other ones? It'll do bitmap.
So it makes an image, but does not turn it into text.
Yeah, exactly. So this was really, really good for receipts, even really long receipts. It would keep them very straight if I took the time to put it up there.
Does it know it's a receipt? Does it somehow sense it? And
it doesn't sense it, so to speak. It'll still turn it into a JPEG. It's not going to rename it.
So this is fairly limited software compared to something like the Neat Receipts, which knows it's a receipt, will automatically categorize the receipt and so forth. This just scans it and gives you a copy.
Yeah, it scans it. It's very, very simple. It just turns everything into a JPEG, and then you can resave everything as a PDF if you wanted to from the SD card.
Can I scan double-sided, or is it only going to...
It's only one side, so you can turn it over and then do the other side, staple them together. But that's pretty much it. I really like the fact that this was super fast, but I did notice that if I had a photograph, something with a whole bunch of different kind of colors, I would get a little bit of color banding on the JPEG image. I believe that's just because of the resolution that it scans it at. It's only 300 DPI, so it's not any higher than that. Although I do believe their more expensive one does 600 DPI if you want to spend that money for that. But otherwise, I think this is a really, really good choice if you have a lot of receipts that you need to scan and you need to do them quickly. If you want to take it on the go with you, unplug it and stick it in your, you know, in your purse, put some little AA or AAA batteries in there, I think it's great. So
it's essentially a basic scanner.
It is.
$149. Scans to memory, not to the computer.
Right.
But you can then read the card either via the built-in
USB
or on a
card
reader.
And you can share via the cloud if you have Evernote.
And you can share it because the software will share it.
Yes, which is very, very nice that that's already built in. It's
pros and cons?
So my pros are it's very fast. I love that it only takes, you know, about 7-8 seconds to scan each page. Even shorter if you're just doing a business card, so to speak. The high resolution 300 DPI is perfect for receipts. You can do the zoom in and zoom out on your computer, no problems. It does have issues with photos, though. And then it's very easy to use. I mean, it's so simple. It's great. My cons are, of course, it's a little bit pricey at $150. The fact that it can only do one paper at a time and the banding on the photographs. So overall, I would definitely give it a buy, though, just because I have been using this a lot at home for all of my receipts for tax season. So I think it's perfect for that. Anyway, that's about it.
I would also take a look at the Neat Receipt. Same mm-hmm. idea, $20, $30 more, and it does do more of the categorization. It understands business cards. It understands receipts. It'll say this was the amount of the receipt, things like that. But
so
it
I
is
think
a little
a
more expensive. Yeah. Doxy, that's the Doxy 1.
Doxy 1, yes.
They make other models as well. Doxie.
Yes.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Shannon is the host of this show, producer of the show, and we'll occasionally host. You hosted when I was gone, right? Did you do the show
yet.
When I wasn't here?
No, not
but you're
yet.
Gonna.
Yes, I'm All going right. to in September.
I'll disappear
I'm
soon.
I'm excited.
So you get to host it. We're going to take a look in just a bit at the ePure phone. Lorik, the intern, makes his debut. Actually, it's his second time, isn't it? Hasn't he done
this
one before?
This is Lorik's first time.
It's his debut. All right. And Chad has the Sensorium Tinka?
Tinky.
Tinky.
Tinka,
tinka, winka. Before we do anything, though, let me tell you about our favorite sponsor. All of our sponsors are great, but I got to tell you, this is one that really saves me time, and I love that idea. Never go to the post office again with stamps.com. You don't need to go to the post office to buy postage. Believe it or not, you got everything you need right now. You got a computer, got a printer, got an internet connection. All you need is stamps.com. Buy and print U.S. postage from your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need special ink. You just need stamps.com. And stamps.com adds features you can't get anywhere else. Things like automatically reading the address from your QuickBooks, your address book. If you're selling on Amazon or eBay or Etsy, you can just pull it right from the webpage. It'll print right on envelopes, the postage, but also your logo, your return address, the address of your recipient. And if you're sending express mail or priority mail, confirmation kind of mail, you can automatically send an email to your recipient letting her know that it's on its way, giving them a tracking number. I just think stamps.com is so great. Plus, you can save money. They've got discounts you can't get at the post office. I've got a special deal for you. See right at the front page here, stamps.com, $80 value. Stop. Don't do it. Click the radio microphone up in the right-hand corner, enter before you buy, and that $80 no-risk trial turns into a $110 bonus offer, including that beautiful scale I was holding up. I love this USB scale. It automatically makes sure you always have the right postage. And a $5 supply kit, $55 in free postage coupons you can use over the first few months of your membership, and 1 month free. You can cancel and keep the scale. It's yours to keep. Just go to stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and use the offer code before you buy. Never go to the post office again. Save time and money with stamps.com. All right. Intern Lorik. Always, It's a mixed blessing when you get the interns to do a review because they're young, they're inexperienced, and usually they're terrified.
Yes.
But Shannon walked him through it, and he did a great job. Let's take a look at Lorik's review of the ePure phones.
Hello, my name is Lorik. I'm an intern for Twit, and today I'm going to review the ePure by Swiss Voice, the home phone, cordless phone. Now, for me, the experience was awesome. For one thing, I'm going to tell you something. The sound quality of this phone is tremendous. I could hear even the most crappy cell phone user's voice so well. And for also, even the crappy cell phone user could hear my voice so well. Like, I called my friend, and he could hear me so well, and I could hear him even clearly. Like, I thought I was in the same room with him. It was awesome. Now, for the look, as you can see, it's hollowed out, which is so unique to this phone. because most phones are not hollow. They're all like clunky and bulky and looks like a brick. Like I could literally build a house with one of those phones. And the feel is just like, it so feels so good. And for one thing, the battery life is so great. This small battery right here can hold up to 10 hours of charge. You can keep this off the home thing, the home base, and it can still be alive for like 10 hours straight. Now for the buttons. The buttons are big for even the biggest thumb users, so I can actually just precisely press a button and call somebody, instead of those small phones where it's like you press one thing and then you're pressing a bunch of other stuff. Now, there's also a Bluetooth one for said cell phones where you can activate this through your cell phone, which for me is kind of redundant, but for those who are afraid to get cancer from your cell phone, it's great to have. Here are my pros and cons. For one thing, the pros, great sound quality. You can hear people very crystal clearly. People can hear you crystal clearly, which is amazing. Buttons are big and nice for even the biggest thumb users. Plus, the battery life is like 10 hours straight. It's longer than any iPhone out there. Now, with all great things, there are certain things that's wrong with it. Say for the cons. For one thing, the screen, for most people who have bad eyesight or people who wear glasses and forget their glasses, the screen's kind of small, as you can see. So it's going to be hard to navigate through it with bad eyes if you have any. Plus also, there's no real way to operate the menu. Like, there's no crystal clear way. You have to, like, figure out which buttons operate certain things. Which, it can be a little annoying, but you can live through it. Plus, for those who carry it left or right-handed, the volume button is, like, so easy to press. Like, I can press this with my thumb by accident. Even if I use my left hand, my middle finger can hit it, like, instantly. And it's going to be annoying to operate it with the volume. So, that's the bad thing. And if you don't really have a lot of money or you're not looking for the best thing out there and, like, with your limited amount of paycheck, it's up around $115, and that's kind of pricey for even this kind of phone. But for me, if you really would like to know my opinion, I would give this a definite buy. For one thing, the pros weigh out more than the cons. And, I mean, the cons are, like, so small. I mean, like, they're, like, that tiny, tiny small. So if you're really looking for the best phone out there and you're willing to spend a little bit more money on it, I definitely get the E-Pure.
Zing.
Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Lorik. Lorik Decker. Yes, he's an intern. Yes, he's adorable. And thanks to Shannon.
He did a
who
great job.
Coached him.
Yes, I did.
Did some little coaching, you could tell, because you got him going. It's funny because he thought $150, that's like 3 months' pay for Lorik. Mm-hmm. So that's it's a lot of money.
It's terrible.
And somebody in the chat room mentioned it. I looked it up and it's true that Swiss Voice, which is a Swiss company, is a division of a larger Swiss company called Ascom.
Oh.
And they changed their name, and I think it was probably a good idea.
I don't blame them.
Ascom. Big for the biggest thumb users.
For the biggest thumb users, there's nothing better than Ascom. And I think it's probably good they changed their name.
Lorik I agree.
Decker, you rock. Great job. We're going to see more of him. I have a feeling I'm before you buy.
Oh, yes.
Chad is here.
Hey.
Where did you get the Zensorium Tinka?
So I've been called, who knows what to call this thing?
What is it?
The Tink. So this is a blood oxygen level respiratory rate and heart rate monitor.
So we saw this at CES.
Right. We saw, and not just this device, we saw this device at CES, but we saw a whole bunch of devices that are sort of geared towards checking your vital signs.
Yeah, but most of them were pedometers and heart rate monitors.
Right.
This is the only one I saw that measured more than just your footsteps or your heart.
Right.
This is pretty cool.
And this sort of technology that it will do with the blood rate, the blood oxygen level, and your respiratory level and your heart rate is something that paramedics use as a base for telling any sort of health related issues.
So, really, this is an important thing.
It's almost like blood pressure in that it's just one of those things to check vital signs.
Right.
That almost everyone does.
Now, this is not a bracelet. This isn't something you wear as you run around.
No. So what this is it actually has a 30-pin connector.
Oh, okay.
And then it'll connect to an iOS device.
You connect it to your iPad or your iPhone.
Right. And then it has an app that goes along with it.
So this is kind of like the Y-Things devices where, when you plug them in, the iPad recognizes it, launches the app. Or does it? You have to.
It doesn't.
By hand.
Okay. And in fact, that I have a few other sort of health monitoring apps, and when you plug it in, it notices that it's plugged in,
right.
And the iPad says, "Hey, I've noticed you plug this in. Do you want me to launch the app?" And this doesn't have that feature, and I kind of wish that their coders would get on that. So you
all
do have to manage.
Here we go.
It's not that big of a problem. This is an iPhone app blown up.
Okay.
They don't have an iPad version yet, but it seems to. It's fine. You know, it's usable.
It knows it's you, so obviously you've configured it, and it can track your previous settings.
It does. Yeah. One thing with the interface, it kind of goes away from normal iPhone and iPad stereotypes, where you have to click and hold down.
That's
up.
Interesting.
It's I got I
kind
was
of an odd
trying
UI.
To click stuff. I thought I had a buggy app, but so it measures two things. It measures a Zen score and a Vita score. Let's do the Vita score first. The Vita score is sort of your all around sort of body check. This has the the respiratory per minute, the blood oxygen level, and the beats per minute.
Oh, well, that's quite a bit.
Right. And that's all sort of rolled into one score.
But you can see the individual broken out.
You can once you go into it. So it's trying to simplify sort of
Let's
all
see your
of these.
Vita score.
So this is actually, I took this a little while ago.
So 82.
82. So let me go ahead and measure the score.
You're right. I don't like that user interface.
It's a little
strange.
Weird. Now, here's, I'm...
thinking.
What's
it doing? Hello?
The one con, and I'm going to come back to this in my pros and cons, is that this is a buggy app. Not only is... Here, let me go ahead. Oh, there we go. So it looks like we forced it in. Sometimes when you plug it in...
It's trying to see the sensor.
It doesn't
maybe.
Notice
there
it.
There we go.
There we go.
So now the process of measuring is just putting your thumb on these... It looks like two LEDs on the dongle.
Right. So this uses... there's a few ways to get your blood oxygen level. You can either use reflective, which is what this is, or refractive, which goes through your thumb. So this is going into... No. I'm just...
That's just how
this technology works. So this uses a reflective technology. One of the problems with this type of technology, and go ahead, if you can't show the whole app, one of the problems with this technology is it's best in low light. Scenarios.
Oh, the light might be leaking
around. And then also, you can see this thumb pressure. If I kind of loosen my grip on this,
it changes.
So what it has a little sensor in there that determines how hard I'm pushing.
And is it giving you feedback saying don't press as hard, press harder?
Just only that number on screen. Now it wants me to be at 100 to 150.
Well, that's hard.
I believe that this is another bug in the system because sometimes when I do the tutorial, it will put me in the correct area.
Right.
And right now, I feel like I'm pushing way harder than
I
did.
And
it's still only at 80. The other problem is when it was going through, you actually missed it because it cut away. So I'm actually going to try to retake.
Do it again, yeah.
Is that one? There's this graph at the bottom.
See now you're at 100.
And if I push as hard as I possibly can, it's still only at 90.
Optimize.
And so this graph at the bottom also does some really weird feedback. So it'll jump up. It'll sometimes max out. And I don't even know what this
rate. Not telling you.
I don't even know what it means. Also, halfway through, sometimes the graph will just disappear, and it says, oh, keep going.
Gone. Okay.
But it didn't do that the first few times. So there's some very inconsistent measuring.
Well, that makes you wonder how good the measurement's going to be.
Absolutely.
If this is fluctuating.
Absolutely.
Like this. And
That number is very different. Now it says confidence low. The last one said confidence high.
Can I try it?
Absolutely. So some things to note.
I want to do it.
You can actually see. I do want to show off these numbers. So 82 beats per minute. That's
high.
Semi high.
You're
because
excited.
I'm
you're excited.
Camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Your
breathing is just 16 breaths a minute.
Okay, and that's normal.
That's normal
for me.
And your oxygen level 100%.
Perfect. Very good.
What if it's lower? Does that mean you're dying?
That means that you could have low circulation. That could be a symptom of
something.
So now something
I press this button to do it?
So press and hold and
retry.
Retry. There you go.
Boy, that is the worst user interface.
I know. Okay. I really dislike
thumb,
it.
Please. I'm at 100. Thumb detected.
Good.
Well done.
But you should be at 100 to 150.
I'm pressing really hard.
I know, right? It's not... And you don't want to push too hard.
You know, your heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times and pump about 212 million liters in a lifetime.
So it does give you fun little facts.
I'm pressing as hard as I can.
Yeah, and you probably shouldn't press that.
I'm telling you that, folks, so you understand. I'm really pressing hard. Right. My thumb is turned
and
white.
And you also just, like, maxed out the thing and it went away again.
Yeah,
which is very confusing.
I can also see
the light turned
Conan
off.
Conan the Strongman.
Which is silly. Why did the light turn off?
Is it because bright lights?
I'm
dead.
It's inconsistent.
So my oxygen level is 88%. So I'm not healthy. Beats per minute only 68. So I'm very calm, even though I was grunting.
Right.
And my breath per minute is even lower than yours. See, I'm actually in better shape than you are.
Right. Well, so what's funny is these are.
Why is my vital level so low?
That's a good question.
It says
question.
Tired. Well,
Your blood oxygen level, that's the lowest I've ever seen someone's blood oxygen level. It's 90 to 100
is good. I picked a bad day to give up smoking, I got to tell you.
Everything else is good.
So
let's say that we were confident in this score, and we go ahead and hit save.
So, okay, yeah. So, now we have a tracking.
Now we have a track, and
you could... I've screwed up your measurements, of course.
It's okay. We could shout out, so we could share this with friends, with Vita, or there's Facebook integration. I haven't turned
this
that on.
This is fun, though, because you can see that if you brought this to a party, everybody would want to do it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No.
You just need to add a breathalyzer.
We're getting one tomorrow, so...
Perhaps. I don't know how to get out of this Facebook thing now that I
you better say hi to your friends.
Here we go. Now I'm out. Okay, so that is the Vita score. And you can even, let me go back. And this is my history, my Vita.
The chat room says they're calling 911. I'm actually dying.
Right.
According to that.
And why didn't...
Take me to the nearest oxygen bar. So it says that your oxygen level, blood oxygen level, is Terry, who not a trained professional, but nevertheless knows a lot, says that your oxygen level should be 95% to be healthy. Mine was 88%.
88. Yeah. So if you look back through my
scores. I don't know how
scores,
it would measure your blood oxygen level by shining a light into your thumb. How does it do that?
I'm not sure exactly on the technology, but I know that light will reflect off of your
is it
the blood.
Measuring the redness of my blood?
Something like that. It's magic, Leo. It's magic. Technology is magic. So you can see my old scores. I never got below 98 on my blood oxygen level,
and Leo did.
I range anywhere from 87. To 90 to, 95 in my Vita score. It also has this other score called the Zen, and I'm actually not going to take that because it takes a full 60 seconds to take it.
What's the Zen score?
So Zen, it tries to measure your stress level. Once again.
You seem very calm.
I have gotten the worst stress level tests.
I know. You're not. You're a stress
test. Oh, my gosh.
You should absolutely. If this said you weren't stressed, I'd really be suspect.
It doesn't give you a pressure feedback on this one. What it is looking for is heart rate variability. And so it will give you these circles that you're supposed to breathe.
Heart rate variability. That's what...
Right.
Yeah. The what's it called? The vitus.
Yeah. And it looks like it was interrupted. I don't know why. So let's retake. And it says that it's unplugged, even though it's obviously plugged in and the light is on.
I think we've seen enough. Pros and cons.
So, pros is that this is the smallest device of its kind out there, and it is designed...
Give it to me. I'm going to try it. Give it to me with the pad. I'm going to just do it. Okay. I'm going to do it in the dark and calmly.
Okay. It uses a reflective sensor, which is kind of cool. You don't have to something... refractive. So you don't have to clamp something on your finger, which is nice. Then also there is a lot of good in-app information. So it will try to. So it's doesn't think it's
doesn't
plugged in it. Still.
Doesn't see it. This would drive you crazy. How much?
Yeah, $120.
Okay.
So it does have a lot of in-app education, which I really like. So this one, you're supposed to breathe along with the circles, and it measures your heart rate, and then it'll give you a score. My score has never been above 50. It was 30 most of the time. I kind of learned how to get into Zen mode, and it got up to around 45. The other thing is you can see the other scores of people who are also taking the Tink. So you have an average of people in...
That's cool.
...in your... Except that there's no one in my age group, so it was always an average of zero, which was a little bit...
But what is your age group?
18 to 25.
There's no one in the 18
to 25 age group? No one in the 18 to 25 age group using this app. And that could change in the future. So those are the prons. Pros.
Prawns?
Prawns.
Did you say prawns?
I didn't
my my heart rate went way up.
Yeah. So the Pros are small design. It uses a cool reflective design and the in-app education. For the Cons, inconsistent app.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not reliable.
I was not sure if it was reading it correctly, if something was broken, if I was doing it wrong, I'd try to cover my thumb to make sure that
it needs to be consistent. Otherwise, you have no confidence in the measurement.
Right. There is no way to share this info once you get it. So that's a score that I got.
Average. Average
up to that 45. Score. It was 45. And it says you're composed. I don't know how you'd get up to 99. I mean, you'd have to be like a monk or something.
You're sleeping, maybe.
You're sleeping. Yeah. So there's no way to share this info after you have taken it. This is great. This is information you'd want to share with a doctor. I want a printout of this. I want to be able to.
Also, once you've started the Zen, you can't go back. It doesn't look like.
Nope.
You're kind of stuck.
You are stuck. Yes.
Yeah. That's not good.
And finally, it's a buggy app. I mean, other than the inconsistent scores and the inconsistent testing,
are they selling it now or is it?
This is available now.
Yeah, this feels like a beta.
I mean, it feels like it hasn't. It's been rushed. I mean, it feels like this shouldn't be on the market yet. Yeah. That they still have bugs that they need to work out of this product. If this was a beta, if this was something that wasn't available. And I knew that I was a beta tester, possibly this would be better. Now, I am still, because this is the smallest device of its kind, and I feel like the hardware is designed well, I am hesitant to give it a don't buy.
Maybe they could fix this.
Because it could be fixed in the future.
No, don't buy this.
Seriously. Yeah, I would give it a don't buy until they actually fix
it. Yeah, when they fix it, then you could buy it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's okay not to say don't buy. You could say don't buy.
I mean, that was what I was leaning towards, except if this worked,
Well, I got my blood oxygen back up now. I'm 92% blood oxygen, 36 beats per minute, which means I actually am dead.
So that is weird.
It's if you don't get consistent results, it's completely worthless.
And that is true. And,
you have to have consistent results, even if they
were
wrong.
Because one data point doesn't give you enough.
Yeah, even if they were wrong, at least you could say, "Oh well, I'm better than I was." But this is all over the. I definitely have my heart rate's got to be more than 36 beats per minute. I'm guessing.
I agree.
And almost anything I've seen can measure heart rate.
You can hit save, and then you can even hit science, and it'll let you know the average beats per minute is 60 to 80.
What happens when you're 36? Does it have anything to say about that?
It doesn't say it. It says you might want to consult a doctor immediately.
Zenzoyam Tinka. Keep working. Back to the blackboard for Zenzoyam Tinka.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay to say no. See, people, I think, are nervous that the people at Zensorium will get upset if you say don't buy this, but it's not ready.
Yeah.
Not ready. I'd get upset if I bought it.
I like to try to make all of my opinions honest and
Right. Well, it's not dishonest. It's just sometimes you want to be nice to the... It's a nice try.
It's a really nice try. And this is the closest thing to what I want.
As long as you're justified in your pros and cons.
And you saw it. It happened live.
We did it.
We didn't try.
We did it here. I was pressing. It was all over the place.
Right.
You can't rely on something that says I got a heart rate of 36 beats. I'm calm, but I'm not that calm. Thank you very much. Chad Johnson, as you know, produces the biggest shows on Twit This Week in Tech, Mac Break Weekly, This Week in Google. He's also the host of the soon-to-be biggest show on Twit, OMG Craft, our Minecraft show. Mm-hmm. Right now, Thursdays, but soon to spread throughout the week.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
We're going to expand it because we're just really excited about it. Thank you, Chad.
No problem.
To have you. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a mouse. And now everybody's saying everything on the show is $150. We found something that's more than $150. It's the Iconia tablet. Alex Gumpa has a review of something that many say is a better Windows 8 tablet than the Surface. We'll take a look in just a bit. But first, a word from our friends at Audible.com, the audio bookstore that saved my life when I was commuting from Petaluma to San Francisco for Tech TV. I mean, 2 or 3 hours a day in the car. After listening to sports talk radio for half an hour, I just felt like my life is flashing before my eyes. That's when Audible really saved it with all those great books, 100,000 titles. And man, everything. I have now, since I started listening to Audible in the year 2000, well over 500 books in my library, the best books. The Now Habit, got it, listen to it, great book. I've listened to The Lord of the Rings. There's fabulous thrillers, too. There's the new Alex Cross novel. There's great technology books, self-help books, history, biography, 50 Shades of Grey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. It's all there. Now, that might not be a good book to listen to on a commute, but just thinking.
Or in the bus.
Yeah, or in the bus, definitely not. Really, you liked it.
It's a good book. Okay.
Audible.com. It's a place to go to get your audiobook. In fact, I've got a way you can get it free, your first book. Go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's a book a month. But your first month's free. That means your first book is free. And there's the Audible app on the iPad. It's an iPhone app, but there's also an Audible app for Android, and there's an Audible app for Windows Phone, even for Windows 8 Metro interface. Oh, you're listening to 10Q1Q84. That was a good book.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting book. See, Chad's become an Audible fan
since
you started working here,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You too?
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's because of the commute.
Yeah.
Yes. If you spend any time in the car or at the gym or doing the housework, walking the dog, I love Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Get your first book free. The only challenge is, what should your first book be?
So many books.
What's your favorite so far that you've listened to on Audible?
Oh, man. I had...
We know Shannon's 50 Shades of Grey.
But... Right. You know,
Tina
Bill...
Fey's book was good.
Which, oh, that was so funny.
She read it herself. Mm-hmm. It's but, so
Mr.
good.
Mr. Bossy Pants?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great book.
The Bossy Pants.
Bill Bryson's so At Home.
Love Bryson's stuff. All of his stuff.
Right. And so my favorite book ever is A Short History of Nearly Everything.
Yeah.
It goes into string theory. I mean, it goes into everything. Yeah. And then he just, I don't know if this is brand new, but this isn't brand new, but I know it's new
recent.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, is At Home, which is
I
a story
newest,
about how the things in your home are the things in your home.
Yeah.
And you know, where hallways came from and where
he's so great.
The credenza came from.
And
I mean,
listen to the Steve Jobs bio and
yeah,
so
oh
much
gosh.
Great stuff.
Yes.
It's kind of a shame. You could spend your whole day listening to Audible.
I know.
And you wouldn't hear any before you buy
And you just sit there, listen to Audible.
All right, let's see. Greg Brannon, who is he an intern? Did we actually give him money?
Greg?
Yeah.
He's an intern.
Brian, do you know? He's your brother. You ought to know. He's a full-time student, but we give him a little money every once in a while to show up and draw things for us. He did a review of the Meonix mouse and mouse pad. Let's take a look.
Hi, I'm Greg with Twit.tv, and Before You Buy, and I'm reviewing the Sargus 900 mousepad and the Neos 8200 mouse. Both of these products are made by Meonix. So to start off with the Sargus 900, this is a really nice high-quality mousepad. Very smooth on top, nice rubber back. It's a little bit overboard because it's pretty massive, but if you have a desk that is this size, I would highly suggest getting it because it is very high quality. And moving on to the Neos 8200, these two work really great together. There's absolutely no lag when I was using this mouse. A little bit about the Neos. The ergonomics on this mouse are fantastic. It has 7 programmable buttons, your left, right click, center mouse, scroll wheel, as well as 2 buttons on top and 2 more on the left side. There is software that you can download for this mouse, but it also works if you just plug it in and go. It has a 32-bit ARM processor, as well as a braided cable. So to test out this mouse in a fast-paced game, I tried Quake Live. Overall, I'd say that the Meonix Sargus 900 and the Neos 8200 are both really good products if they fit your needs. Moving on to the pros and cons, I'm going to start with the Sargus 900. This is a really great mouse pad. Some of the pros has no friction on the top surface, super smooth. It hasn't slid at all since I started using it. Some of the cons, it's a bit pricey at $29.99, and also it is a very large mouse pad. If you don't have a desk that could fit it, it is unreasonable to buy it. Moving on to the Neos 8200, some of the pros, has a great ergonomic design, 7 programmable buttons, and very sensitive to small movements. Some of the cons, at $89.99, it is very expensive for a mouse, and I really wish it was wireless. Now for buy, try, or don't buy, for the Sargus 900, I'm going to go ahead and say try. If this mouse pad fits your desk, it's great. And for the Neos 8200, I'm going to say buy. Even with the price, it is a all-around great mouse and great gaming mouse. I'm Greg with Twit.tv, and before you buy, thanks for watching.
Greg Burnett. Grog, we call him. That is a mouse pad. That thing is a blotter. That's not a mouse pad.
I love that mouse pad. I bought the medium one. And
I wouldn't mind having a mouse giant towel. One. Can you, is it, could you trim it if it were like...
you probably could. I would worry about the sides fraying from right. the microfiber on top.
It does have microfiber.
I think they have a few different size options.
So you could
they do.
Right. Fit
it. I think that's a great idea because I always fall off the edge of the mouse pad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think a wired mouse is a con.
A wired mouse is a pro. Wired. You don't want wireless on a game because
no,
you don't want any latency.
Exactly.
Now, the only negative, you're a lefty too, Shannon. Do you play righty?
I play righty.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, see, there
I
you
play,
go.
I'm like, you know, WASD. Because
that was clearly not a neutral mouse. It was very much contoured for a right hand. So
yes.
I always look at mice and I want to make sure they're either neutral or they make a left-handed version. We'll have to check into that. But you know what? That looked like a nice mouse.
It is nice.
All right. I'm going to take a walk because we've got Alex over here. Alex Gumpel. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
If I walk? All right. Alex Gumpel is here to show us a new tablet. This is from Acer, the Iconia.
Yes.
And we've been hearing so many good things about the Iconia. I'm dying to see it. Now, I notice you have your Microsoft Surface.
As for my notes.
Okay. Now, is this Windows 8 Pro?
This is Windows 8, not Pro, just regular Windows
8. So it's RT?
Not RT.
So there's regular Windows 8?
Windows 8, is they come in regular and Pro.
Oh, because I was confused because they call it the Surface Pro. I thought all Windows 8 was a Pro.
No. So
this is
the
Windows 8.
The cheaper Windows tablets come with just regular Windows 8, the higher.
Well, that's an issue. What do I lose if I don't have...
It's mostly just like domain joining and business
okay.
stuff that you don't
the
really need.
The high-end
right.
stuff. All right. So this is it.
Yes, this is it. So this is an Atom-based PC. It's not an i5, but it's not an ARM either. So
right.
It's
an Intel chip, but the Atom, remember we saw a lot of Atoms in the early days of netbooks. They were really low and slow
right.
and junky. This is a better Atom than that.
No, it's
no?
still slow and junky. Yeah. This is kind of right in between an ARM tablet
right.
and an i5 tablet.
Okay.
Wait
a minute. You just broke it.
Yeah, I broke it. I took
so
it apart.
So it comes right off. This is
it comes with this dock, or some of them come with the dock, depending
right.
on what.
And it feels like it's heavy enough. It feels like there must be more battery.
There is a battery in there, which
okay.
about doubles your battery life almost.
That's great.
Which is very nice.
Snaps in securely and easily?
Yes. Yes, it does. And it's got a 10.1-inch screen. It's got an 8-megapixel camera on the back, which is all right. It's I don't know if you could really see it much there, but it's... there we go.
Yeah.
It's
like a camera
it's
phone.
It's grainy, but it's not.
Yeah,
you know, it's all
right. It's not much different from a camera.
But what
phone.
Idiot takes pictures with a tablet?
Now,
so.
What's funny is this is a small. This is an ultrabook sized thing, but because of the battery and the keyboard, it actually feels kind of heavy. How much
right.
does that weigh?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't find it.
It feels
on
like
specs.
3.5 pounds.
But it is. Yeah, with the dock, it's heavy. But as a tablet, it's actually light.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. This is lighter than the usual tablet.
Right. This actually is really nice as just a tablet.
And most of the weight, then, is coming from the extra battery.
Right,
and the keyboard.
And all the other stuff.
All right. Well, you know, this is... Can I touch it?
Yeah, yeah.
May I
so
touch it?
Touch
your tablet.
Like, Leo.
So it's a touchscreen tablet. Let me just touch the Windows key. Oh, is it... Okay, there we go. It feels fairly snappy. I mean, it doesn't feel slow.
No, it's about... performance-wise, it's about the same as the ARM, except... This actually runs a desktop, and
right.
you can install any old Windows apps.
Well, and that's the thing. I've been using the Surface RT most of the time, and
right.
so this doesn't feel slow to me because it, you know, it's kind of like an RT. That's not bad. This is not bad.
Yeah, and like I put Photoshop in there just to see how that works.
Photoshop?
It works, and it actually works fine for basic stuff. If you load up a giant image and do a lot of processing, then it probably will
right.
slow down a lot. But for basic stuff, it's fine.
Now, the screen looks a little maybe dim to me. It's not an IPS screen.
It is an IPS screen.
It's
actually,
right.
it's very nice. It might just be...
we could just brighten it up.
There we go.
Shake it.
Like,
that
like
always makes
sketch.
It better, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the brightness is way down. There we go.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Yeah.
And, yeah, now the angle's pretty good. That's how one way you can always
right.
tell an IPS screen is it looks good off angle.
Yeah, it's a very nice screen.
Okay.
It has a nice layer of glass
It feels... the response feels good. It's a little glary, but a lot of these touch screens are.
One of my complaints is that the material of it, it's plastic, but it so wishes it was aluminum. just the back of it.
It does wish it was
like,
aluminum.
It feels like it's aluminum, but it's just tacky plastic, and it's really kind of cheap feeling because of that.
Well, is it a cheap computer because of that?
It's cheapish. It's low end is $500,
And that does not include the
keyboard. Doesn't include this. They have they have like six different models going from $500 to $800. More expensive ones come with the dock. Some don't.
Has an HDMI port, which is kind of nice.
Micro HDMI. It's got
micro USB.
Micro USB, but it comes with a dongle for regular USB size, so you can plug a keyboard or mouse in to the tablet. It also has USB on the dock too.
And I like the micro SD, so that means I can add memory to this. What are the memory capacities on this?
It's 32 and 64.
So this doesn't go to 128.
It doesn't go to 128. You don't get much off the bat. You probably about 20 gigs of usable space, I think.
But then you could put another 32 or 64 gig SD card in there, and you have plenty of storage.
Second drive that you have inside.
$500 just for the tablet, 32, I would guess.
And then
it's got Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, it has not 3G.
No 3G, but it has NFC.
Oh, that's neat. So I could tap it against something.
Well, so let's see if...
How would I use the NFC on this?
If we go to a fabulous website, we can go devices, and we can do tap to send. And if I pull out an NFC on the device...
So you could then tap it against your Lumia phone, and you're sending that website
and then,
to the phone.
I got
that's cool.
My phone.
Hey, that's neat. I like that.
So, that's NFC is handy. It's a little clunky in Windows 8, but that'll be worked out, I'm sure.
So this is the Acer Iconia.
Yes. Iconia W5.
The W5.
The W7 or the 700 series is the actual i5 one.
It seems to me with an Atom processor, it should be maybe a little less expensive. $500 for the base unit.
Yeah, but it's about the same price as a Surface RT.
Right, but you get full Windows.
But you get full Windows, but the build quality isn't as nice. So it's kind of a balance of what you would rather have. If a really nice device, but you don't have the desktop, or if you want the desktop, you get
it's a little weird when it's folded up because of the hinge and the way this is. This feels like it should be more of a smooth.
It's clunky.
Yeah, but it does have a grip.
But
which
as
is
a
nice.
Tablet alone, it's really nice, I think.
Yeah. And it does seem like it has a pretty sure dock. And it feels pretty secure.
The dock is actually my biggest complaints. One is that it's not well balanced. So
just slips over.
Do that, and it's just kind of if you touch it,
That's not good.
It's not good, and the screen itself is just kind of wobbly, even if you have it up like that and you're touching it. So it's not weighted down on here quite as well. The trackpad is pretty awful. It does not have any kind of I couldn't figure out how to get it to scroll with two fingers or anything. And because it's got integrated buttons, if you're trying to click while you're moving around, if you have your finger rested on a certain way, the mouse just kind of doesn't know what to do and gets confused.
That's not so good.
Keyboard, the keys are smaller than the usual standard keyboard, so it's kind of hard to type on. You get a little used to it, but it still have a lot of typos. And also kind of a glitch that I've found is that sometimes the keys stick. Not hardware-wise, they don't actually physically stick in, but if you're typing or just type something and then the letter just keeps repeating until you kind of backspace a bunch.
That's not good.
That's probably a software thing that might get worked out in sometime in the future. Another glitch I've had with this one is it's crashed on me a bunch of times. Usually when it's either trying to wake up from sleep or about to go into sleep, it just freezes and I can't do anything.
And that's not a problem with Windows 8. You think that's the hardware?
I mean, it could be the hardware, and who knows. And it also might just be this one device. It may not be in all of them. And restoring Windows to the factory settings might fix that.
Right.
It's hard to say, but you have to hold the button down, turn it off, turn it back on to fix it.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Pros and cons on the Iconia W5.
Battery life is really good.
How much?
Probably about a day with just a tablet, day and a half with tablet on the dock.
That's really good.
Standard regular use.
Yeah.
It runs a little warm right in the corner here when you kind of do anything, really. But that's not an issue. It doesn't get too hot.
You'd almost expect that. That's probably where the CPU is,
Screen, like I said, is really nice.
No fan in this.
No fan.
So it's quiet.
Right, yeah. So battery life screen, and that has full Windows 8 is a really nice plus because I could have my desktop how I normally have my desktop and run apps like usual.
You mentioned some of the cons are physical cons.
Right. So the con is the dock kind of all-in-one is a con, I would say.
Right.
Just all the things I said about it. Also the trackpad and just kind of generally cheap feeling.
So what do you think? If somebody's in the market for Windows 8, it's a fairly inexpensive device.
I mean, I'm calling it a try, but it really depends on what you need. Like I said, it's kind of in between a Surface and a real i5 thing.
Right.
So it kind of depends if it as a primary device, I would say no. As a secondary device or companion, like a Surface, it's nice. And then you get the desktop too. So it just really depends on what you need and what you already have.
All right.
So
a try for the Acer Iconia. You're right. It's a little warm. are right there. Alex Gumpel is the flow master, the man in charge of keeping the bits flowing here at the Twit Brick House
something like that.
Studio. Hey, he's got his own lab coat. We know he must be doing something very, very important. Thank you for the review, Alex. We appreciate it. Thanks to Shannon Morse. Thanks to Greg, I want to say the name right, Burnett, to Chad Johnson, Tony Wang, and to Lorik, our intern. For all of their great reviews. Thanks to you for watching. We put these reviews up on YouTube. In fact, some of them are up there already, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy, so you can look at individual reviews or share them with people who are interested in buying this product. But you get the whole show also at twit.tv/BYB. If you've got a, there it is. If you've got a question or a product you'd like us to review, email byb@twit.tv. We do the show every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That would be 2300 UTC on the Twit Network, twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. And as I said, audio and video on-demand versions always available at our website, twit.tv/BYB. We'll see you next time. Remember, if you're in the market, you got to watch before you buy. See you later.